This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
Hi, this is Steve. Welcome to another exciting episode of Thriving Entrepreneur. I hope today, as I hope every time you're listening, finds you thriving in every aspect of your life and your business. I really do want to help you live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. With that in mind, I'd like to give a shout out to our sponsor, the VTech 4-line small business phone system. I have raved about this for an extended period of time now, and I gotta tell you, I hope there are some of you out there that have taken them up on this amazing phone system. 4 lines incoming, 10 extensions, in other words, 10 actual physical units sitting on desks, the ability to have multiple auto attendants, multiple extensions, and it's as easy to use as plugging in a lamp. That's right. If you have the technological capability to plug in a lamp, you can use the VTech 4-line small business phone system. I urge you, if you haven't gotten one, if you haven't looked at it, check it out today. So today on Thriving Entrepreneur, we're going to do something just a little bit different for you. We've done a couple of recaps. We've had some pre-recorded shows. We've had live shows. We've done a lot of really cool things. Today, I was going through some of our archives, and I realized there are some points that have been made by previous guests of mine about marketing that really need to get brought out, that need to be talked about more. So I've got 3 of my guests that were on previously that we're going to recap some of the things that they talked about to us about marketing and help you really do online and social media marketing, marketing for your business, everything to do to market your business, because it's important that you understand that you need to, every minute, every day, every time you are in business, you need to be marketing your business. So I really encourage you to get a pen and paper and take some notes as we listen to Minette Rorden and Don Crowther and Pam Ross as they talk to us today about marketing for our business. First off, here's Minette. Listen in.
People that are successful at word of mouth marketing are also primarily running small businesses. They don't need big numbers of clients. And so I've heard in particular realtors have a lot of success with word of mouth marketing. But what they don't tell you, Steve, a lot of times when they say they rely on word of mouth marketing, a lot of them have been really savvy about building very solid referral partnerships with other strategic allies and partners like mortgage people and bankers and home inspectors. And so, you know, word of mouth is a little bit of a misnomer, I think, sometimes. I think there are ways to do that strategically and impactfully, but it should be a very small slice of your marketing plan. And in my book, I actually teach how to create a simple, just one-page visual marketing plan that's based on the color wheel. And the way that you start is so simple. It starts with knowing exactly who your perfect client is, exactly what problems you solve for them, and why you're the best person to solve them. And in fact, I was doing a coaching session with somebody around ideal client yesterday. And when she finally got exactly who her ideal client was, it simplified her marketing because then she knew exactly where she needed to go both in person through networking, meetups, speaking, that kind of event, as well as online in order to get in front of and create visibility for her perfect clients. And I totally agree with what you said, Steve, about, you know, word of mouth is out of your control what people are saying for you. So I'm a big fan of really holding on to that control. And visibility is so important. And, you know, it's interesting. I wrote a blog post last week about transparency and how much transparency is too much. And one of the biggest shifts I've seen in marketing in the 15 years that I've been an entrepreneur is it used to be marketing was all about the spin. It was all about, you know, convincing people to buy. And marketing has become incredibly relationship driven, and it's more about authentic connection with people. And I think it takes some of the scariness out of marketing and sales as well when you approach your marketing from the perspective of educating people about how you can help them. I think that's the biggest mindset shift that people can make around marketing, that marketing is simply about educating people about how to do business with you. And it's very fun when you approach it from that perspective of service to others first. So it's important to be marketing online and offline. But again, once you know who your ideal client is, then you can determine exactly where you should be spending your time, your efforts, and your money to promote your business. So there's a couple of different things you hear in marketing circles and marketing education a lot. Ideal client, perfect client, creating a profile. And then you also hear a lot about picking a niche or a niche, depending on who you are and how you say it. And both of them have the same underlying reason for why they're so impactful. When you know exactly who you want to work with, it makes your marketing so easy. You know exactly where to go and find them. And I prefer to coach my clients to create an ideal client profile as opposed to focusing on a niche. It can be very difficult to kind of narrow in our focus to a particular group of people. And I want to add that I see so many entrepreneurs, Steve, that have so much resistance to picking a niche. They think, oh, if I narrow my focus, I'm not going to get enough clients. And then, you know, people aren't going to want to come and work with me. And the opposite is actually true. The more you narrow your focus, the more you can be really clear about exactly who it is that you want to work with and why, the more of them will be attracted to you. It makes it easier to write the copy for your website, for all your social media, even your blog. Everything gets directed to this particular group of people. I like to take the concept of niche one step further, and I encourage my clients, and I believe Steve does as well, to create a written profile of who the perfect person is. And so most of you that are listening, if I ask you, who's your favorite all-time client? And it may be a client from your current business. It may be a friend that you've helped in the past if you're still new in business. But most of us can immediately call to mind an image of who the perfect person is. And I'll share a very specific example. When I owned my publishing company, I had a lot of advertisers. You know, we'd have 100 advertisers in every single issue of the magazine. And especially in summer camps, we'd have double that. So there were lots of people that we were working with. But there was one favorite who always rose to the top of the list for us for a couple of different reasons. So first of all, she was super friendly and we loved talking with her. She herself personally was a member of our readership demographic. She was a mom of two young kids, and she did all the marketing and outreach for all the ice skating centers in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So she really understood the importance and value of marketing. So not only did she understand the benefit of advertising in our magazine, every single month she turned in her ad on time without us having to bug her or remind her. She always paid her bills on time, and her ad copy was always perfect, beautiful, and didn't need any tweaking, changes, or going back and forth. So she was such a great match. So it was so easy to say, I want all my clients to be just like Liz. Liz was an amazing client to work with. And while not all of our clients were as great as Liz, Liz helped us create a standard of the types of clients we were looking for. So when I would coach my sales team, and I had about 8 women and one gentleman on my sales team that were out selling ads all over the Dallas Metroplex, and I would share with them, here's our ideal client profile. Here's the exact type of business owner that we're looking for. We weren't interested in selling ads to just anybody. We were interested in creating partnerships that would really be long-term with people. And I'm proud to say that, you know, in the since I sold that company, we stopped doing print in 2010, converted everything to digital. And Liz, who was my favorite client, actually came to work for me, Steve, and ended up buying the magazine, and it still has the website up and going today. So you never know where those kind of relationships and partnerships are going to take you. The more specific, detailed, and visual image that you can create of your ideal client, the easier it is to find them, to attract them, and for them to self-select. Because when they go to your website, they're going to go, oh, that's me. She's talking to me. And then they're going to click on your free opt-in. They're going to sign up for a free consult, or they're going to go read your about page to learn more about you. So it makes your marketing so simple. So I encourage you today to sit down and take some time and write down all the things that you can think about that make a client the perfect client for you. A friend of mine that does branding work in Texas who talks about this topic a lot, which goes to show you that pretty much every marketing expert out there is going to tell you that you need to understand who your ideal client is. And Steve and I could preach at you all day about this. And I want to just, I love what Steve said about giving her a name. I require all my clients to also find a picture, create a name. Like my coaching clients, you know, my ideal coaching client profile, her name is Sharon, and she's an amalgamation of many of my clients. And the other thing I would add to that, and Steve, I'd love to hear if this has happened for you too, but since I started my coaching practice, you know, the clients that come to me are all the same. I use a bunch of assessments in my work with clients. They all have the same core temperament. They have similar core values. They're super creative. So my profile has changed over time to match the people who are showing up and most attracted to work with me. So an ideal client profile is also a work in progress. It's not written in stone. And it also doesn't mean that you're only going to work with that client. Just because you're focused and targeted on that one client doesn't mean you have to say no to other people. In fact, it might surprise you who shows up to work with you. And I totally agree with what Steve said, that it seems counterintuitive, but the truth is the more you narrow your focus, then the more clients show up. It's amazing. It works every single time, right? The truth is the number one fastest way to grow your business, no matter what business you're in, is to get out of your house and go meet people. And I know that that can be intimidating, but with practice, it gets easier. So the very first time I went to the Plano Chamber of Commerce, which was my local Chamber of Commerce where I was about to start my magazine, I hadn't printed my first copy yet. I called the chamber and I said, hey, you know, somebody said I should come and visit. And she said, yeah, come on. It's Friday mornings. It's 7 a.m. It's a lot of fun. You'll have a great time. She did not tell me, Steve, that I would need to stand up in front of a room full of 100 people and give a 30-second commercial. And I can tell you that I was mortified. I was shaking. And the way they did it at that time was they went up and down rows. So I knew it was getting closer and closer and closer to me. And I kept getting more and more nervous as my time to speak got nearer, because I was completely unprepared. I had no idea what to say. And I can't even tell you now what I said, you know. I turned beet red. I was so nervous. My knees were shaking. And about 5 years later, one of my friends from the chamber, who is a longtime member, you know, he said, oh, Minette, here was another magazine come along. We never thought you'd make it. And we're really proud that you did. And so, you know, that moment of nervousness was a real turning point for me. So what I encourage those of you to do that struggle with networking, because I know how hard it is, I really do have a lot of empathy. I am naturally pretty outgoing, but that was such a shock to me, is to be prepared. And the way that you get prepared is back to our former conversation around knowing who your client is and knowing exactly what you do and practicing in a mirror or in your car or wherever it feels comfortable your elevator pitch, whether it's 20 seconds, whether it's 30 seconds, whether it's a whole minute. Write it out and practice it ahead of time. Even if you have to read it a couple of times in front of people, don't be afraid to just stand up there and make it funny and silly or memorable or just say your name and who it is that you're looking for. But getting out of your house and in front of people is the number one fastest way to grow your business. And we could talk all day long about online marketing, but online strategies are slow growth opportunities. They're not immediate, impactful ways to connect with the people that you want to be working with. Public speaking, I know a lot of people really struggle with public speaking. I'm a big fan of public speaking to grow your business. And doing interviews like this one with Steve are great opportunities for visibility as well. So if you get my drift and my theme here, you need to be places where you are connecting with people and they get a chance to listen to you talk about who you serve, how you serve them, and why you are so brilliant at what you do. And so find the places where you can network that you feel safe and comfortable with how the structure is and you know what to expect. That can also make it feel much simpler. And then the other thing is, and it's funny, I'm giving a talk at lunchtime today on sales. And the thing about networking I think people forget is we think we have to go in and sell to the room. But the truth is you're going to networking just to meet people and to tell them a little bit about what you do and to learn about what they do. So just go in with an attitude of curiosity and service first. Go in saying, oh, who can I help today? And set an intention to just be of service to two or three people. And I think it takes some of the pressure off if you don't go in with this expectation that you're going to walk away with clients, because that's not really what networking is about. Networking is about building relationships. And I would say that's true online, Steve, as well as in-person events. And, you know, I would just add to that not to spread yourself too thin either. You know, I live in Santa Barbara, California. It's a small community. I think our area still only has about 100,000 people. So, you know, you go to networking events and you see a lot of the same people. So I encourage you to pick the one or two, I would say at least two, that are very different from each other and stick with them, that it takes time to build relationships. Just like the story I shared, you know, did I get clients that first time I stood up at the chamber? No, I didn't. It took time for those people to get to know me. A lot of those members were longstanding members of the Plano community. They'd been in business there a long time, and they'd seen a lot of new people come and go in and out of these meetings. And so they were looking for people who were showing up in service and were committed to the community, and then they were willing to do business with me. And so I encourage you to get involved, join a committee, join a board, and find a couple of groups that you can really spend time getting to know the members, having one-on-one conversations with them. So, you know, I know we're talking a lot about networking, Steve, and I don't know if you want to shift and talk about some other ideas for marketing as well, but I'm such a huge fan of the potential for networking to help people very quickly attract more clients into their business.
Well, I kind of love that we're talking about marketing. I mean, besides the fact that we are a member of the eWomen Network and we're big proponents of joining eWomen, you know, I think it's a great organization. I am a guy and I'm still part of the eWomen Network.
Yeah, nice.
You know, it's national. It has great chapters. It has really good, solid foundations. So, you know, those things are important. And that connection with people is really the core of our marketing.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com. That's managingdirector@eWomenNetwork.com. And let's start the conversation.
Are you ready to be a celebrity expert in your field? Are you your own best kept secret? Do you have talents you want to share with the world? Are you ready to be seen as an authority. Do you have a message you need to share with the world? You know to your core you can help people if you could just reach them. Kathy and I want to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. Are you ready for this? How would you like to be recognized on top media outlets? What would becoming an Amazon bestseller do for your business? How many people could you inspire? And it doesn't take a lifetime. It doesn't take years. It doesn't take months. In fact, in just 60 minutes, you will become a celebrity expert in your field. In 30 days, you will be a best-selling author, and you will be seen on NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, Fox, and The Wall Street Journal. How does this work? Well, you'll be interviewed on our show, Thriving Entrepreneur, which will then be broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and many others, as well as promoted to a network that has a database of over 500,000 people. Your expert interview will be published in your very own book, which is guaranteed to hit best-selling author status on Amazon. Your name and the book title will appear in major media outlets, including ABC, NBC, Fox, CNN. We can guarantee that. Plus, as a bonus, you'll get a custom social media package to promote your book and an MP3 of your interview with 5 key tips on how you can repurpose the content for marketing and sales. Don't be the best kept secret. Get ready to play an A game and be the authority in your field. Go to wehelpyouthrive.com and click on the authority package to get yours today.
This is Steve, and I'm here with my very special guest, Don Crowther. Don, an absolute expert in social media and online marketing, is here sharing his brilliance with us today. And what we'd like for you to share with us now, Don, is what is the number one mistake people make when they're using social media?
Ooh, great question. Okay, so in order to answer that question, Steve, I need to just drop back into a couple of things that we've actually already mentioned. The first one is that we talked about what happened with MySpace and the mistake that they made of constantly trying to sell people things. And then we talked a little bit about how people want to build relationships. Let me say this in a different way. That what people want out of a relationship with you as a company. Now, I'm assuming here that we're talking about you as a business person, not you as an individual that's sharing pictures of your dog. And so not your personal Facebook account, but the business side of what you're doing, okay? Because they're remarkably different. You should have a personal Facebook account where you just talk with your friends, your buddies, your kids, whatever it is, and there you can share the pictures of cats dancing on piano keys and talk about the weather or your favorite team or whatever it is. But on your business side, it's very, very different. And so what most people do is they don't think through what do people want from people they do business with. So, for example, my house is needing painting. And so we've had a couple of people come by to give us bids on a new paint job. And the interesting thing is, what happens is these people come in, some of them have wanted to like develop a quote relationship right at first. And so they want to spend 20 minutes with pictures of their cat, with telling me about how where they went to school and what they did and everything. And what I really want to know is, how are you going to keep my paint from peeling? How long is it going to take to do this? And how much is it going to cost? I am fine getting to know them personally in that process, but I want like 30 seconds of getting to know you personally and then cross the bar of telling me that you're competent, able, and affordable, and then we can get to know each other personally a little bit more. And so what ends up happening is that what people assume is that what works for them personally on Facebook also works for them as a business person. You know, I really don't care what my plumber had for lunch that day, who he's going to vote for, or how many, or whether or not he thinks this particular video is cool or not. I simply don't care. And when I see my plumber wanting to communicate those kinds of things with me, I am going to, number one, not engage with him, which means that I won't be seen more. So by not liking, by not commenting, by not replying, sharing, those kinds of things, that is, I am not engaging with that post. And what that means is the more posts of his that I see and I don't engage with, the fewer of them I'm going to see. That's part of the algorithm that Facebook and other services use to determine what you see on your Facebook newsfeed. Okay? So what you need to do is you need to recognize that when people come to you as a business person and want to create a relationship with you as a business person, what they want to know is information about what you do and your expertise as a business. What they don't want to know is all those other things. What you ate for lunch, who you're going to vote for, what religion you are, whether or not you really like Dancing with the Stars. All that stuff that is, unless it's part of your business, is not something you want to know about your chiropractor. You just want to know, how do I get straight teeth? Or from my dentist, how do I keep my teeth healthy and white? From my plumber, how do I keep my plumbing from clogging? And, you know, all those kinds of things are the information that people are looking to you as a business person to learn. So what's the biggest mistake that people make in social media as a business person is that they work on trying to build a relationship outside of their business as opposed to try to build a relationship based upon what they do as a business. Does that make sense?
That's, yeah, it really does. And I know there's a lot of people that struggle with that. And often, you know, you get those from business contacts that are sending you just the craziest things. And you're like, you just skip over it. You don't read it. And so if you don't read other people that are sending you that kind of thing, it only makes sense that the people you're sending those kind of things to probably aren't reading them either. So it brings up a good question, Don. What are the things a person should be doing to create a relationship as a business with their online market and their social media?
You're asking exactly the right questions, Steve. I really appreciate the fact that you're tuned in here and you're really giving back the kinds of things that our audience really wants to know. Before I answer that, can I give one small rant here?
Yeah,
I can't
absolutely
tell you how many times in the last couple of weeks I have seen posts that say, you know what, your posting about your favorite presidential candidate is not going to change my mind. And may I make a suggestion that you, as a business person, as we approach a key election cycle in the United States, at least, I know England's just recently been through one, that there's a number of places that are going through these. Your business social media channels are not the place to try to convert people to your political candidates, your religion, your lifestyle, whatever it is. It's not going to do that, and all it will do is make people mad and cause them to leave you. Now, the people who agree with you, that's fine, but is it worth it to be able to spout off about whatever your favorite candidate is and lose half of your audience or three-fourths of your audience? I'd suggest it's not. So just keep that in mind when you start seeing this pick up as, at least in the U.S., the election cycle continues and becomes much more intense. So back to your question, Steve. What do we put up to build that relationship? So here's the thing that I do. This comes from my training, all those years of school and 10 years of running 100 million plus brands. What I've learned is that the core of any successful marketing venture, which your business being communicating online and social media is a marketing venture, is to identify what your potential customer wants and needs. Mm-hmm. And that's what you talk about. So I like to start with the customer. I sit down and I say, okay, I run a company that helps people learn how to build their business online. And so I sit down on a regular basis, about once every 3 months, I take out a blank page in a notebook, and I start writing down what are all the things that my potential customer wants and needs in the area of building their business online. And I make a long list, and it might be 10 pages in my Moleskine of all the things that I can see that they need. Then I simply go through and prioritize them, and those are the posts that I am going to be putting up on my social media, that I'm going to be putting up on my blog, that I'm going to be creating YouTube videos about, that I'm going to be sharing things on Instagram about, that I'm going to, and I could go on and on. That is the list. And by the way, from that list are the products that I then eventually create and sell to that marketplace. So everything's based upon what my customer and potential customer really wants and needs. So let's just imagine that you could wipe the slate clean, and you can, by the way. You can start today with your business social media and wipe the slate clean and do it in a different way than you ever have done before. So what you could do, like tonight, is you could go and write a blog post that answers a key question that your audience has about what it is that you offer, the product, service, information, whatever that is in your particular marketplace, and write a blog post that either gives them a tip, answers a question, or helps them to achieve a goal they've got in that area. Then take that blog post, post that to your social media. What you've just done there is you have done a couple of things. First thing is, everyone who's following you for the right reason, because they want to know more about what it is that you sell, your expertise, your company's focus, is now happier because they got more interest in that. Everybody who could care less about that is now repulsed by you and begins to leave, which is exactly what you want. Because remember, we talked about Facebook only shows posts to people who engage with you. And if they're not engaging with you, you want them out of there so that Facebook says, hey, this person has a remarkable engagement rate. And so then it starts showing your post to more people. So you want to repulse the people who are not potential customers from you, which is exactly another reason why you absolutely should avoid anything that is not based around your core business on your social media. So if you're talking about the Packers and someone's a Cowboys fan, you could get people to follow you because you're a Packers fan. Well, they may not be in the market at all to buy what you sell. And so therefore, you don't want them following you. You only want people who are interested in what you have to sell.
Now, Don, does that engagement, does that only affect your Facebook page, or is that also for a personal profile?
So remember, your personal profile is where you never want your business clients to be friends with you on your business profile, on your personal profile. That's where you have your close friends, the people you were roommates with in college, your family, those kinds of things. And there you can be as free to discuss whatever you want because it's behind a friendship firewall where only your friends are seeing that.
I hope you've really learned some informative and some exciting information from an absolute guru in social media, Mr. Don Crowther. It was such a privilege to have Don on the show, and I hope that each one of you will go out and hashtag on Twitter right now, I love Don Crowther, thriving entrepreneur. So hashtag I love Don Crowther, hashtag thriving entrepreneur. We'll be looking for your tweets while you listen to these messages.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
This is Steve, and I want to talk to you about the VTech 4-line small business phone system. Imagine the impact it could have on your company if you had multiple phone lines with multiply different answers for each of those lines. So somebody calls your sales department and they hear a recording that says, "Thank you for calling Thriving Entrepreneur Sales Department," just as an example. And they then hear the rest of the message. To be able to talk to Joe, your account rep, press 1. To talk to Sally, our receptionist, press 0, and so on and so forth. Imagine as a small business, maybe even working out of your home, maybe even as a solopreneur, what kind of impact being able to have that level of capability with your phone system could do to the impact of your company and how professional and impressive you sound to your customers. I urge you, check out the VTech 4-line small business phone system today.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Are you ready to be a celebrity expert in your field? Are you your own best-kept secret? Do you have talents you want to share with the world? Are you ready to be seen as an authority? Do you have a message you need to share with the world? You know to your core you can help people. If you could just reach them. Kathy and I want to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. Are you ready for this? How would you like to be recognized on top media outlets? What would becoming an Amazon bestseller do for your business? How many people could you inspire? And it doesn't take a lifetime. It doesn't take years. It doesn't take months. In fact, in just 60 minutes, you will become a celebrity expert in your field. In 30 days, you will be a best-selling author, and you will be seen on NBC, CBS, ABC, CNN, Fox, and the Wall Street Journal. How does this work? Well, you'll be interviewed on our show, Thriving Entrepreneur, which will then be broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and many others, as well as promoted to a network that has a database of over 500,000 people. Your expert interview will be published in your very own book, which is guaranteed to hit best-selling author status on Amazon. Your name and the book title will appear in major media outlets, including ABC, NBC, Fox, CNN. We can guarantee that. Plus, as a bonus, you'll get a custom social media package to promote your book and an MP3 of your interview with 5 key tips on how you can repurpose the content for marketing and sales. Don't be the best kept secret. Get ready to play an A game and be the authority in your field. Go to wehelpyouthrive.com and click on the authority package to get yours today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve, and as I've told you, you've been listening to some of the amazing guests that we've had over the time here on Thriving Entrepreneur. We want to keep the ball rolling, helping you specifically get laser focused today on how you can effectively market your business. To help us with that, next up is my good friend from Canada, Pam Ross. She's going to talk to us about something really, really impactful that you can do right now for your social media. And that is as simple as just giving it a try and seeing what works.
That's the thing about social media. You don't have to be Oprah to build an amazing brand around yourself. You don't have to be Lisa Nichols to inspire people. You can be yourself, and you now have the opportunity to converse with people, to create and share content online, to build your brand and connect with people that you never would have had the opportunity to do before. So it's amazing, the opportunity and potential. And that testing sort of mentality is so key. I mean, you can be digitally fluent. I started my use of Twitter with a Twitter handle that I didn't even ever send a tweet. And I still have that Twitter handle in the background. I don't use it anymore, but it never sent a tweet. I just used Twitter to listen, socially listen or digitally listen, and see what was being said about my industry, about leadership, about the topics that I was interested in, and to see how people were using it. So that's the first step. I mean, just try it. Get out there and see what's happening on some of these social networks. And you don't have to be sharing or be doing that until you're ready.
I think that's important too. Nobody's forcing you, and you don't have to take any steps beyond what you're ready for, but just dip your toe in the water, see what's going on out there, expand your ability to take in the information. The thing that really made the internet take off, and I remember the culture of it back in 94, the 95, the really early days of the internet, was that everybody just shared everything. It was amazing. Sometimes I even miss it, because there's a kind of a culture of exclusivity these days. And in the early days, everybody just shared. It was like, how did you do such and such? Oh, well, here you go. Let me send you the file. This is the program I used. You can use it too. And that is the core of what really makes the internet work, is people sharing themselves, their knowledge, their information, and their lives with other people. And that's all that we're really encouraging you to do when we talk about being digitally fluent is, hey, we like you, and we'd like you to share you with us. How's that for a thought?
That's so true. And I still find that, especially with those people that are active on Twitter. So I mean, I'm active on almost every social media channel there is, including the new, and I shouldn't say I'm active on them. I have tried every social media channel there is, including, the new Meerkat and Periscope for streaming videos that just came out over the last couple of weeks. I'm constantly trying these things, but I have found for that openness that you talk about, Steve, that it's still there with those people that are really active, especially on Twitter. I have been so fortunate to meet like thousands of people. And how I use Twitter is actually to connect with people in real life, or IRL, if you're on Twitter and only have 140 characters. So when I meet these people in real life, they are, first of all, just like they seemed on Twitter. And just as so their persona on Twitter is exactly what they really are. That authenticity really exists. And they're so open to sharing what's working for them, how they've built their business. I got so many tips and so much advice from people that I had just met on Twitter, so much more than from people I had known for years that were maybe a little bit more closed off. So the social world really kind of, it thrives in those open people.
Really, all we're trying to do is encourage you to just try some things. Some of them you're going to like, some of them you're not going to. One of the things you'll find in social media is there are certain different types of platforms of social media that you're really going to like, and there are some of them that don't appeal to you as much. Some people are really into, you know, like YouTube videos and things like that, and other people, they're like, yeah, it's kind of a waste of my time. Some people really love the 140-character aspect of Twitter because they can say something real quick and then move on. And other people really like to have long conversations and, you know, posting blogs and really actually giving, you know, like, for example, if you were going to do a recipe, it'd be impossible to do a whole recipe in a tweet. You know, I mean, unless the recipe is grab two pieces of bread and slap some peanut butter on it and slam them together. I'm not even sure if I got under 140 characters with that one. The question as a business person needs to be, what do you want your online presence to do for you? And so to help you think through that, Pam, what's like maybe the top two or three things you can think of that a person can really do with social media, with the internet, that would really enhance their business?
Okay, so the first thing, Steve, to build on what you were saying, it is to know where your customers are. So if you're doing this to build your business, where are your customers hanging out? Even if you are a B2B business, you know, get into the mindset that you're actually a person-to-person business. It doesn't matter that you're selling to businesses. It's actually a person that's making the decision to buy your product or to partner with you. So first of all, realize that it's all people-to-people business, and then think about where are your people and what is your product. So if it's thought leadership that you sell, then a blog or you know, LinkedIn postings are probably a really great way to go. If it's retail or, you know, something visual, then you might want to look at a network like Pinterest or Instagram. If you want to connect personally with people, I find Twitter really helpful for that. So first of all, figure out, you know, where are your customers? What's the best way to share your product or service? And then, you know, just try something. So I'm going to go to Twitter because I find it the simplest network to sort of learn, because it is that 140 characters. It's quick and easy, and it has a great search capability. So I would start with actually just starting a Twitter account and searching for keywords that are related to your industry or your business, and seeing what people are saying about that kind of product or that kind of service that you offer. So you can start to connect with what those people are looking for. So start there. Just get a Twitter account and just search and see what people are saying. That's kind of a really simple first step. And then think about, you know, how do you want to be seen? What parts of you do you really want to shine? And if you're going to start sending out messages and posting on whether it's Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, wherever it is, I always say, think about the three C's before you post anything. So that is, if your customer were to see this, if your children were to see this, or if your CEO, if you have someone who is kind of leading you, were to see this, are you going to be proud of them seeing it? So making sure that you are representing your personal brand and your organization's brand in a really positive light from that perspective. But there's a few tips to start with. I could go on and on. Do you want me to keep going, Steve?
Sure. Why don't you give us another tip?
Yeah, definitely. The other thing is, there are these things called hashtags, which I think it's sort of this unknown territory for people that aren't really active on social media. And so I want to demystify that a little bit and explain why they are actually important to use. So when you first start on social media, you likely won't have very many followers. So you can feel like you are posting and talking to yourself. And hashtags can start to change that. So a hashtag is the little pound sign in front of a word or a series of words, and it becomes a clickable, searchable term. So when you use a hashtag, you're able to find everything that other people also posted using that same hashtag. So if you, say, work in food service or in any sort of service industry, Cust Serve, C-U-S-T-S-E-R-V, is a hashtag that's used quite often when talking about customer service. And when you start to use that hashtag in your own tweets, they will show up for other people that aren't following you if they're looking for that hashtag. So that's how you start to build a presence when you don't have one already. So that's something else to think about when you're starting to want to be known for something, is figuring out what are the searchable terms that people might use to find you, and using hashtags that relate to that. And you can Google, you know, hashtags for retail or hashtags for coaches or whatever it is that you do. You can Google and find some hashtags that would be good to use. Start incorporating those into your Facebook posts or your Twitter posts, and that way you'll start to be seen by more people, because it can be really hard when you first get started and you feel like, why am I bothering? Because no one's seeing my tweets and no one's interacting with me. So do use hashtags. And the other thing is, don't broadcast. This is something I see often with businesses, that we think that social media is just a new way of advertising, and it really isn't. It is social. You will get far more out of it by actually connecting with people and having conversations with them, rather than just sending out and advertising your own business all the time.
So if you were to even just think about this last few minutes that Pam and I have been talking, and you were wanting to express what we are expressing, but you wanted to do it on Twitter, what you would do is take a little thing like a hashtag is what we used to call a pound sign. You know, it's Shift 3. and so if you were in the space that Pam's in for her business, a tweet could be as simple as, when did you learn that hashtags were the pound sign? And you engage the people with that kind of a thing. And, you know, that was totally off the fly, so I apologize, Pam, if I, you know, undercut, you know, how good a tweet could be.
That's a great example, though, because that's something simple that everyone can relate to. So by asking a question like that, I'm probably going to get some responses, and then I can start talking back and forth to people, and that brings in the social element.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just like if you were in a room full of people, you're not going to scream out at the room full of people, hey, everybody, I blah, 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 you know. You would be very embarrassed, hopefully, and if not, the rest of the room would be very embarrassed for you. But what you do is you're going to walk up to one person, you're going to say, hey, how you doing? And you're going to talk about, well, what do you do for business? And you engage them in conversation. Social media is very simply just engaging. If you think of, and we've encouraged you this before in branding sessions and things like that, to think of your customer as a specific person, and then you just engage that one person in a conversation, it becomes a very easy tweet. How are you doing today? What is the thing that you struggle with most on a Monday morning? I mean, feel free to steal that. I can guarantee you, whatever industry you're in, everybody is going to have customers that can relate to what is the one thing you struggle with on Monday mornings. Those kind of things that integrate people and get them to begin to talk back to us.
If you're interested in any of the things that my wonderful guests have talked to you about today, I encourage you to check out their free offers and their websites. They have some wonderfully great opportunities for you to be able to build your company and to market yourself as the professional that you are. For example, here is what Minette has to offer.
So, you know, the thing I think I'd like to offer to people is I have a 12-month membership program called the Artful Marketers Six-Figure Breakthrough Club, and I'm offering a free 30-day trial of that program, and I would love to invite people to go to mindfulpatterns.com. That's MINDFULPATTERNS.com. They can contact me directly. They can learn more about the program. Basically, it's monthly training, live Q&A opportunities with me, get all your marketing questions answered, as well as access to my library of marketing webinars, ebooks, and all kinds of great juicy details on how to get started, because especially if you're new in business, the getting started can be the most challenging part. And I always help people understand how understanding who they are and what their core values are can make them so much more attractive to their clients.
I encourage you, check out Minette's stuff. She is an expert at helping you market your company. You will be glad that you did. Your action tip for today is to check out Minette, as well as to check out Mr. Don Crowther, the guru of social marketing himself. Here's how you can meet Don.
And so, Don, I'd really just like to know, what are the kind of things that you have available that people are like, okay, Don, you gave me lots of really great ideas. Where do I go from here? How could they work with you? What could a person do to contact you and do business with you?
Okay. I actually have 10 separate courses that I teach about how to build your business online. And core place that you can find out more about me and how to get those courses and how to get some free information from me and things like that is at doncrowther.com. So that's doncrowther.com. And once you're there, go ahead and opt in, and you'll find some sections there where you'll be able to go find some of the products that I offer and some of the free stuff that I offer, and there's always the blog there, and there's also links out to my social media from there so that you can follow me everywhere. So the best thing to do is just to go to doncrowther.com, and that'll start tying you in to what I do, how I do it, and then we've got some things like live events. They're a lot of fun and really nail and help people's businesses. And you can even go as far as personal consulting and mastermind kinds of offerings from me, where I get more and more involved in giving you direct advice for your business.
Such great help from a gentleman who will always give first and will share with you things that will impact your life and your business and take you to a whole nother level. And then last, but definitely not least, we listened to Pam Ross. Pam will help you develop a talent that as a business owner you need, and that is called digital fluency. And here's all you need to do in order to be able to work with Pam.
My website is pamross.ca, Canadian website, and the opt-in is right there on the front page. It's probably not as front and center as a lot of people do it. I don't have a pop-up or anything. It's just right at the top of the page. You can opt in with your email address and get that ebook and those tutorials. And what the core of my business is helping entrepreneurs or entrepreneurial organizations build really strong culture. And that includes everything from building strong trust within and about their organization with customers, and building innovation, digital fluency, and agility within their organization. So and branding your culture, really, really differentiating what your business is all about and what it means to work for you and work with you. So that's what I focus on, and digital fluency is just one part of that because it's so important for entrepreneurs and businesses today.
I encourage you, check out Pam and Don and Minette. Take them up on their free offers. As always, I hope you are living your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Remember, you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose. The world needs you. Kathy and I are here to help you no longer be the best kept secret in your industry, but to live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.